When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, y'all. Welcome, everybody. We are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. It's your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders everything. We are back. You guys already know what to do. Hit the subscribe button. Subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. You guys already know what to do. Subscribe. Hit the like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you dislike it. Leave a comment if you like it. Leave a comment if you dislike it. All right, guys, and you guys are going to do with that as well. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at the Mark John NFL for me at BD Williams 18 for BD, right? And then we also, you know, make sure you guys pan the supplements right there. Discount code 35% off. Make sure you guys support Panda Supplements. Like I always say, man, they got some great products. So make sure you guys go up there and support everything they got working up there with those some of those protein shakes. Some of the focus, some of the green drinks, awesome stuff. Make sure you guys check that out. Definitely recommend it. All right. So, Panda Supplements, but we're talking training camp today. Training camp, BD. We're here. The players are reported. We had a practice. It is football season.
Right.
It's early for us. Usually we're like next week, but we got a Hall of Fame game. We have four preseason games this year. BD, yeah. So we get an extra look at the fourth stringers in the first game, and then
yeah,
get an extra look at we get some Chase Garbers, man. First game.
So I mean, yeah, we'll see if we can track down film of preseason this year. You know. We got to start putting our plan together for that. So, for sure. We'll see about that. I mean, I'm not. I guess it's helpful for us because it's new schemes. Yeah. So if we do get our hands on the preseason tape, that extra game, you know, in our archive to go back and kind of look at some concepts and like what they're doing, even though it's going to be like their most basic stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And it might even be stuff like that they don't even come back to, but it like, the rest of their offense or the rest of their defense is built on these concepts or something like that. So I'd be interested to see that, but I'm not, you know, we're not going to see a bunch of these stars. You know, we'll have to wait for the regular season to see Devontae Adams, Derek Carr, that hookup, you know, real time bullets flying. That's going to be regular season action, right?
Yeah. A lot of Jarrett Stidham. I mean, the quarterback battle has to be won. I mean, there's no backup quarterback for sure right now. So there's a battle to be won. Jarrett Stidham versus Nick Mullins right now. You got Chase Garbers in there. I mean, Chase is a long way to go, but, I mean, they like him. So we'll see how that goes. And, you know, they usually go with the best player who can handle it. So we'll see how that works out for them. But, you know, Jarrett Stidham didn't look too good in OTAs from what Josh McDaniels said. So it's going to be interesting to see how that quarterback battle goes out for the backup position, because that is a battle that nobody's really talking about, because nobody's taking it. Who's the guy right now, right? So,
okay. So that's one battle that you're keeping your eye on.
Go ahead. Oh yeah. So while we're got some other topics we're talking about first, Brandon Parker getting first team reps today. Most of the first team reps at right tackle over Alex Leatherwood, BD. So, reported by Deshaun Reed. Everything we got is out of Deshaun Reed's Athletic article about the top 10 observations from this today. Training camp. And we got Brandon Parker, first team rest, BD. Yeah. What are you thinking of that? What do you think of that?
I mean, this Alex Leatherwood is not their draft pick, right? Like, they didn't draft Alex Leatherwood. And I know Josh McDaniels being with the Patriots in the past, you know, this offensive line coach being with the Patriots in the past, they got Isaiah Wynn in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
Georgia offensive lineman.
Yeah.
A guy who's smaller than your prototypical tackle. So they have a history of, you know, now, I'm not saying that Alex Leatherwood is small, right? They have a history of working with guys who are not necessarily like Brandon Parker huge, right? Six foot eight, you know. But perhaps this is just like signaling that this is really what they value in a tackle. Like Josh McDaniels now, his departure from the Patriots, what they value is size in the tackle. Perhaps that's what that's saying. I don't know.
I mean, usually with the right tackles, I mean, they're, you know, they're a big fan of Trent Brown. Trent Brown's huge, right? They've had Trent Brown over there twice. And usually the right tackles are pretty big. You know, I can't really verify every single right tackle they had over there. But, I mean, I know, you know, Trent Brown's a good guy to look at for that type of perspective. I mean,
talk about Trent size, Brown, right? Trent Brown played on the left side of the Patriots, right?
No, I thought he played on the right side, didn't he? Because Isaiah Wynn plays on the left side.
I thought, maybe this previous year, this last year.
Yeah, he might have been some switching, but he
played before. The right side. Before he came to the Raiders, he was a right tackle with the Niners, and then he played left tackle with the Patriots, and then he came to the Raiders and was a right tackle.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I didn't pay attention to his career last year. You know, last season. So I don't know.
He played right tackle. He played right tackle.
Last right year. Tackle. Right tackle that last year. Okay. Yeah.
So
I mean,
What I thought, you know, because what's interesting about it, you know, some people say it's early in camp, but to me, they kind of battled it out in OTAs, right? They were switching back and forth in OTAs. So since they're switching back and forth in OTAs, and then you come out into the training camp and Brandon Parker is number one, that must mean that he must have had a better look in OTAs than Alex Leatherwood, in my opinion. I mean, I played a lot of football. You know, you go from the spring camp and you go into training camp and, you know, you lost your spot. I mean, you know what I mean? In practice, you're like, oh, wait a second. I'm not playing with the ones. You know, maybe tomorrow is all Leatherwood with the ones. I don't know. But it's just interesting that, you know, Parker got the first run, even in the first practice of training camp. That's super interesting to me. Because any way you look at it, I mean, they switched it in OTAs and in minicamp. You come into training camp and Brandon Parker is number one. I don't know, man. That's super interesting to me.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, let's hope what this means is Brandon Parker's just like evolving his game, and we're seeing like they're seeing a different Brandon Parker than like anyone's ever seen before. I hope that that's what that means, and not the opposite, that Alex Leatherwood is just like not ready and not being professional enough. But, you know, I've seen some of his workout videos with Manny Weather. Right, that's who Leatherwood is working out with, right? With Manny Weather. Exactly. So,
we've seen
his body transformation. We've seen him put in the work. So, I doubt that that's the case for Leatherwood. So, I'm really just hoping that this is just Parker is just coming out and just having the best playing the best football of his life so far this spring.
Hopefully I mean, pads aren't on yet either. Pads aren't on yet. So, you know, maybe he just looks great in shorts. You know, maybe he just looks great in shorts. He does. I can see that. He does look great in shorts. I bet he does.
He does.
So it could be that too. But like I said, the pads aren't on, which is a good segue into the next topic we want to talk about, because it's offensive lineman again. The pads aren't on. And we got Lester Cotton over Denzel Good. I know everybody's going to say they're slowing up with Denzel Good, bringing him along, right? But Denzel Good got fully clear for practice. You know, it's not like he was on the PUP. If they're slowly bringing him along, you mean this is beginning of training camp. He's a veteran. Put him on the physically under unable to
perform. Unable, yeah.
Right, and then you know, let him sit out a little bit, and then he can come in and start when he's ready. But for him to not be number one either, and messing with the backups all day, I thought that was super interesting. Plus, he got his pay cut by $2 million today.
Well, yeah, I think. For Brandon Parker and Alex Leatherwood, I think there's a lot to read into there. because there is the situation with Denzel Good coming back off the injury.
Yeah.
That one is potentially, yeah, I think that we could make something about this for sure.
Okay.
But that one's potentially a little bit more explainable, you know, and it could be, you know, like, yeah, he's cleared or something like that, but like the conditioning isn't there or the fitness level isn't there for him yet or whatever. So he can go out there and participate in drills, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he's been doing it. So can be on the first team yet. So who knows what that means? I mean, honestly, if Cotton beats out Denzel Good, my goodness, this is going to be a beast offensive line. Beast.
Because is Lester Cotton trips me out? Because I didn't know he went to Alabama. So I was like, oh, that's they probably.
You
like,
didn't? Oh, you didn't know that? Really?
No, I didn't know he went. No, I didn't. Oh, no, I know he's okay. An Alabama guy. Yeah. They probably say, where'd you go, Lester? Alabama. Right. Oh, really? Really? Oh.
Right. Is that we got him UDFA. Lester Cotton, but he was on a lot of lists that year. I remember seeing his name. I remember seeing his name a lot.
He didn't have a good preseason last year, so I don't, you know, but he's a development guard, and maybe they are coaching him up and they see something that they like too.
Yeah.
So obviously he's going to get a shot to like impress. I mean, if I always say, you know, people, you know, talk about these a veteran, you know, people go with the veteran, but if the younger guy outperforms the veteran with this type of regime and these type of coaches, they're going with the younger guy. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion. There's no old guys.
It's that, we're not talking about like Joe Thomas. We're talking about Denzel Good, okay?
Yeah.
He can be beat out, okay? It's yeah, I agree. And Denzel Good, he's a sixth, like ideally a sixth guy, a utility offensive lineman for you who can come in and perform at a couple different spots at a pretty high level, close to the level of your starter. That's who Denzel Good is. So, yeah. You know, perhaps, you know, Cotton is a starter and Denzel Good doesn't lose his, you know, spot, his, you know, his niche on the team necessarily.
Yeah.
But I mean, but is Leatherwood getting any play at guard? Is that a possibility at all?
He didn't play a guard today.
So he's a tackle only so far.
So he's right tackle only. But that's why I think we should play right guard if they're going to go with Brandon Parker. I mean, they should put Leatherwood at right guard. I thought he played well enough there last year that, you know, this year if you left him there, he can get some growth. So
I like Leatherwood and Simpson at guards. Oh my gosh, those are some big nasty guards, man.
But like they got that. They got Parham. Parham's mixing in with center with Andre James. Andre G. James is getting the first team reps. I'm pretty sure he's going to be a starting center. You know, he had a lot. I guess he had a couple botched snaps today. So did Parham and Carr. But Parham is getting first team reps with Carr too, though.
I saw that. Yeah.
So that's interesting too. Looks like they're battling it out at center a little bit. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on. Because I mean, that's what Parham should play. Parham doesn't have the strength for guard, in my opinion, in the NFL. So I think he could be a Pro Bowl center. You know what I mean? And I think he has that ability, especially if they want to run some outside zone and stuff like that. That's your man right there. But he's also backing up John Simpson. So, you know, he might be more of like a utility guy year one, development guy. But I think, you know, if they feel like he could beat Andre James ain't making no snaps, bro. You know? Get out of here, dog. So, but he's got to get the snaps up, bro. He's got to get the snaps quicker. That's his only problem. You know, maybe put him at guard or something. He's not a bad blocker.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Right.
Position of center. That's all it is. All right. Defensive tackle, BD.
Okay. Give me the bad news. Yeah.
Nichols and Hankins are started on the pup list. So the two starters are hurt already. And then, so it was a lot of, hold on, this is a different name I had. It was a lot of Neil Farrell. So Neil Farrell was getting most of the run today. So we've seen, so Neil Farrell, he's probably going to be the, if Hankins can't go or whatever's up with Hankins, it's going to be Neil Farrell as the guy. They probably feel like he's probably the most pro ready of the defensive players. And the other guy was Tyler Lancaster.
Who?
Tyler Lancaster. He was the other guy getting first team reps.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, no, my bad. Sorry. Kendall Vickers is getting first team reps. Kendall Vickers and Tyler Lancaster.
Kendall Vickers. I could see that. I like that. Yeah.
Kendall Vickers.
I mean, and then it's still not great. Tyler Lancaster, Northwestern, 6'3", 313. 5-year NFL vet.
Yeah.
Played for the Packers last 4 years. I do not know this man. It's like the Kiki Palmer skit, you know, whatever that.
I'm sorry.
I don't know this guy. But okay, well, I mean, hey, if he's getting first team reps, I'm gonna have to crank out the film here. I'm gonna have to go back to 2021.
I mean, he's the second team guy right now, right?
Yeah.
Second team is Lancaster and Vickers behind Nichols and Hankins, and then it's Butler and Farrell. So Pico and Billings are way back there.
Pico and Billings are? Wow.
Yeah. They're way back there.
I mean, but Butler got to get his feet wet. He's got to tamp down on a roll and learn it. He's got a lot of ability, just so much that to work on, I think, for him. He's got to tamp down on a roll and just, like, be used sparingly at first, and just like when he comes in, like, hey, all you do is just crash B gap and do this. Like, this is like run, pass, doesn't matter. You just get the quarterback, whatever, right? He's got to get like a really refined role. Neil Farrell, though, I think I could see him major minutes for Neil Farrell. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Neil Farrell, he's going to be playing this year for sure. This could be guys who could be playing.
I'm not going to blink. If Hankins goes out for 8 weeks on the PUP or whatever it is, right, designated to return, all right, I'm cool with Neil Farrell starting the season off for sure. For sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Hankins can come back for camp. He says that, Billy, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. What are your thoughts on Kendall Vickers? I mean, you know, Kendall Vickers is he's sticking around.
Dark horse, man. Dark horse. I like Kendall Vickers. I want him. I want him on the team, especially when you look at how bare the cupboard is at defensive tackle.
Yeah.
You know, there's a guy who's been around, survived all these regime changes. He's like the defense's version of Jalen Richard. Okay, you know he's just he will not go away, and so there's obviously a reason for that. Get him in there. I think he's great at he's a great gap penetrator, and I think he's a very similar profile of player as what Matthew Butler is. Matthew Butler, obviously more talented, has a higher ceiling.
Yeah,
doesn't have it all put together yet, but like the ways that they win is very similar. So I could see them having a similar role. You know, Kendall Vickers starting out there, and as the season goes on, giving way to Matthew Butler. Like to see something like that happen.
Yeah, I mean, he had the big game against the Chiefs 2 years ago, 2020. So, you know, that was a big game for him. So, you know, you never know. He might be a sleeper.
He's gonna get in on the rotation. You know, all the day one starter stuff, and who's starting in camp, but who's starter week 17? Who's the starter then? You know, like, we need a lot of guys to get through the season. So,
yeah. All right, buddy.
So, who's this surprise player that you're saying is on the roster? Who is this?
Surprise player at 53. I would see if you had one. Do you have a surprise player that you think you might make this 53?
Okay. Do you already have one?
I kind of do.
Okay, you go first, because I gotta look at this.
All right. I'm going to go I just want to make sure I get his name right. Yeah. I have who I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Deshaun Bowers.
Okay.
Defensive end.
Did you watch him coming out?
Did I watch him coming out? No.
Yeah.
I did not watch him coming out. Did you watch him coming out? Did you check out?
No.
So Sean Bowers, I mean, he's kind of a journeyman right now, right? But right. I mean, he's played in the Patriots system, right? The past 2 years, he was on the practice squad, but then he got elevated for week 2 and week 10, and then he went over to Minnesota, got some playing time, and it's just somebody I think that maybe if like Kyler Fackrell or you know Cleveland Farrell doesn't have a good camp or those guys mess around and allow somebody who's been in the system and knows the ways and knows how the defensive you know lines want to work and maybe know I don't know Patrick Graham has never coached him but you know it's still same pedigree same systems that they come from so if he has that mentality already or he knows what to do and understands the stunts understands the terminology understands what they want to do I think he might have a shot over there so this is my surprise bro. Price 53, Sean Bowers.
That's your surprise?
My surprise.
I like that one. I really like Deshaun Bowers' athletic profile. I mean, you know, 6'5", 250-pound defensive end edge player.
Yeah.
Give me that. Give me that on the end of the roster, you know, over, you know, a little tiny speed rusher or something like that. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want a big freak athlete kind of guy. You know, hanging out fringe on the fringe of the roster. You know, who knows? Because that's a guy who could turn into a major contributor. So
exactly,
I like that. I like that a lot. And big time program coming out of LSU. You know, we've seen players. I think we've seen players reach their football maturity later than what our typical or like what our timeline or what we expecting them. Like we expect everyone to be their best football player that they are as soon as they're done with college. And some guys, it takes longer. So, especially with great coaching staff. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to keep my eye on him for sure. So I got one on my end. Now, it's funny because you did defense. I'm going to do offense. Okay. Got a text from our buddy Cyril Penn, who's now working in Canadian Football League as a scout when the Raiders signed this guy, Isaiah Zuber.
Okay.
Wide receiver. Okay. So I'm gonna go with him. And the reason why I'm going with him is because a couple reasons. So he was with the Patriots last year as a rookie. Okay, coming out of Kansas State. All right. He played in the CFL for a couple years and then last year his first year in the NFL as a rookie was with the Patriots last year for 4 games. You know, he didn't get in a lot on offense, and I'm not saying that he's going to be a contributor on offense, but what is being relayed to me, okay, by a professional scout, the guy can really, really run, and he's a great return man. So that's why I think that's where I think his niche is. I think that Josh McDaniels is not going to allow Hunter Renfrow to be out there returning. Okay.
Yes. Good point.
I don't see that. It's going to be a pivotal cog to this. I don't see it. Yes, punt returns. Great. Hunter Renfrow. We need a kick return. We need a guy who could potentially do something back there at kick return. And I like Isaiah Zuber just from what I'm hearing.
Okay. That's a good one, man. Isaiah Zuber. If we can get that USFL all 22, bro, we can, we could break it down, you know what I'm saying? It's good USL. Signed another.
Who would we talk to about that? I'm sure we could track something of that.
I'm sure Cyril can get some USFL.
Yeah.
100% he could. but, you know, they signed another player from the USFL to a cornerback. I forgot his name. I think it's Isaiah Brown.
I'm Farley. Wrong.
No, that's the safety. Matthias Farley is the safety.
Okay. Oh, yeah. They signed another Isaiah. Yeah. I saw that, too. That was a couple days ago.
He's a cornerback, and he's from the USFL, too. So, I mean, that's why they need those minor leagues like that, in my opinion, so you can see these guys play live and help them out, you know, get that going that way.
Yeah, I mean, they got some guys, you know, here. You know, Anthony Averett obviously is going to be involved a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you got someone like Craven LeBlanc, who's a 6-year NFL veteran. you know, maybe I can see that guy hanging out on the back of the roster, a guy who can play nickel, a guy who can play on the outside, a guy who can play special teams for them, come in, like, late in the season when you need a nickel. Cravon LeBlanc is your guy. He's played a lot of football in the NFL. You know, he has plenty of starts under his belt. So,
yeah,
I see a name like that. I didn't even know he was on the roster. But seeing him comparing to some of these guys that I've never heard of their names before, you know, that's a name that sticks out. But we'll see. Maybe some of these no names comes in and beats out, you know, an NFL vet. So that'll be interesting to monitor.
Yeah, it is. You know, Gillespie, too, is somebody I'm watching, too. Like, what is his development? I mean, that's a fourth-round pick from last year. Had a lot of hype as a safety. What is his development? You know, what are we watching him? Because you want him, right? I mean, you drafted him. If they feel he can take that next step, we really need to see that from him, because I believe that, I mean, it might be a little bit of waste of draft capital that high on a safety. They took two safeties last year, right? And maybe they had an idea of like a tandem or something like that. I don't know what their idea really was. Maybe he's a Jonathan Abram replacement. But you want, if Jonathan Abram's not going to work, you want Gillespie to take that spot, right? You want him to kind of cement himself as the other safety. So it's going to be interesting to see what his development too.
I really hope that he pushes the hell out of Jonathan Abram. I hope that that's a fierce battle. Honestly, I hope that that's like the level of development and like improvement we're seeing from Gillespie, because as much as I love seeing, you know, Jonathan Abram knock himself out, you know, tackling guys out there, I love it. You know,
yeah.
I know he's not necessarily like the greatest safety ever, you know, like it would be great to see a guy beat Jonathan Abram. That'd be awesome. I mean, that means we have a pretty damn good team, right? That we're rooting for here. So I'm definitely curious about that. You know, looking at those guys, I'm curious to see how much, you know, how big of a bite is Jonathan Abram going to be given, you know, and if Gillespie is even his backup. You know, are they competing at the same position? So that'll be interesting to see as well. But I think right now it sounds like, I mean, Tashaun Reed would have mentioned it if
yeah.
the starting safeties weren't Abram and Merrick right now, right?
Yeah. Abram, Merrick, Harmon. That's really what it is.
Okay.
You know, Harmon's backing up both the Morig and Abram.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Mm-hmm. That sounds about right. I mean, yeah, we'll see about Tyreek Gillespie. It could be, you know, his bad fit being in Vegas for him, because we haven't really seen him, and he let Dallin Leavitt beat him out last year. So pretty upsetting to see that. Man, you know how big of a sigh of relief I just let out when I saw Dallin Leavitt got cut? Like, finally.
Goddamn, I know, right, man?
Gosh, man. Okay, so it was – who's the linebacker that I hated that was –
Kyle Wilbur.
Yeah, Kyle Wilbur. There's Kyle Wilbur, and then Dallin Leavitt was another holdover. Those guys are not on the defense anymore. I feel better about like the overall depth, because if a guy like Dallin Leavitt makes this roster again, it's like, what is happening with this defensive back group? Like, are you kidding me? Dallin Leavitt is the best top 10 DB that is available to you right now. Mm-hmm. So happy to see that he's not there anymore, to be quite honest with you. Trayvon Mullen, he didn't start.
He's on pup. Yeah.
So a lot of people were panicking and DMing me about this. Okay. Worrying about Trayvon Mullen starting the season on pup. You know, Anthony Averett. You know, I would say just relax. Like, it's the beginning of everything. So it's a long season for these guys. So. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about too much about it, but, you know, have Anthony Avery getting them outside reps. Let's be honest, I mean, there probably is a battle between him and Mullen. And Haas is working inside, so he's still playing in the slot, so they still got him in there. But we don't know what Patrick Graham's going to do, really.
Yeah, I know.
We don't know. It's just the fun part, to be honest. I just know week one they're playing man. I'm gonna tell you that right now, guys. Playing man, they're gonna make Justin Herbert throw downfield. You see them in the box playing right up in the dudes' faces. That's my only That's my only guess right there.
Yeah, well, anyway. I mean, we need Trayvon Mullen then, if that's the case. We need Trayvon Mullen to come back.
Yeah. All right. Any last thoughts, PD, before we get out of here? We got a good 30 minutes in.
No, that's it. That's it for me. I'm about to go watch Arian Knighton race 200 meter final world championships.
Okay. Is this a U.S. guy or Jamaican?
U.S. guy. He's 18. He just graduated high school. Bro, he's phenom. Arian Knighton. Look him up, man. Fastest man in the world for sure. No man in the world is clocking a higher miles per hour than Arian Knighton. Okay. Wow. He's 18 years old. He's about to take over. So I'm about to go watch that, y'all. I'll let you.
All right, y'all. Peace.